days off for a while. It's great to be back. And you know how just low doing announcements at peace, at the time of peace, just seems to break things up so much. And we're doing them at the end, giving people a chance to get there instead of now. But I want to make this announcement or share this news with you before we begin this morning, because I don't want you standing there looking at the guy in white and trying to figure that out instead of paying attention to what we're all paying attention to. This is Stephen Tomlinson, and you see with the cross. That's how you know who he is. Right? Stephen is a senior in the Iona School for Ministry, which is a parallel sort of formation program for ordained ministry, as well as there's some folks who go through hospital ordination. But Stephen's looking forward to ordination next summer, and then later in the year as well, we all trust. But I wanted to know who he is. He's going to be with us for these months. I'm delighted about that. We had interesting exchanges online and on the phone before he came to us. He was with us in the vestry meeting on Thursday night. They were, all of our vestry were taking the dinner by him. So we'll welcome him during coffee hour this morning. But I wanted you to know who the mystery man is. And now you can all stand. And we'll sing all 10596.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Glory to God in the highest. Receive our prayer.
Heart. Defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My very
Holy Saint Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Pharisee. We 21st century Christians are way ahead of Jesus' first century crowd when we hear that title at the beginning of this parable. We know all about those Pharisees and Samaritans. We know all about them too, tax collector too, though to a lesser extent, perhaps because we might have our own 21st century grimacing reaction to that title as well. What we forget is that our reactions to biblical Pharisees and Samaritans is likely the opposite of the reactions within Jesus' audience. We're accustomed to thinking of the Pharisees as the bad guys and the Samaritans, and to a lesser extent, the tax collectors as the good guys, because that's how they seem to come off in Jesus' stories and parables. At some point during Holy Week, I typically make a big deal, because it is a big deal, of commenting on the recurrent term, the Jews, at various points in the Passion narrative. I remind us all that the evangelists, the gospelers, are not talking about the Jews in a blanket way, but about the corrupt Jewish leaders at the time. Not even all those leaders, by the way, were corrupt. And about those in the crowd who are being manipulated by them. That usually leads to an acknowledgement that the unfortunate nomenclature in the Gospels led to centuries of extreme, sometimes violent, discrimination. It can still contribute to lingering anti-Semitism in some dark corners within Christian believers. Similarly, many preachers, this one included, go to some lengths to point out that the Samaritans were a stigmatized group within Judaism, and that Jesus chose in his most widely known parable to cast a Samaritan in the role of the good guy, the compassionate and loving figure, because that was the opposite of what his audience would expect, that this outcast would save the poor, abused traveler. That is so widely known that we even now have laws called Good Samaritan laws, and we all understand what that means. All the foregoing was prompted by something I heard on my way back from the vestry meeting Thursday night. It was a podcast, and not one of the political or true crime ones I sometimes listen in on. This was a religious one. I admit I don't listen to many of those, like one or maybe two, and not that often. This one is called Pulpit Fiction, an obvious play on the name of the famous Quentin Tarantino film, not for everyone, but a favorite of mine. Each episode of the podcast even begins with that driving Deltone surfer theme song from the movie. The hosts are two Protestant pastors from Illinois, one a Methodist, one from the United Church of Christ. They have an engaging style as they talk about the readings for the upcoming Sunday, inviting guests to join in that conversation. They point out that the easy approach, and I've done this myself on occasion, in this gospel passage, or to this gospel passage, is to preach on one of the obvious themes of pride versus humility, rigid rule-following versus open-heartedness, or even self-righteousness versus self-reflection. But let's return to the Pharisee for a moment. Dr. Amy Jo Levine is an eminent scholar who specializes on Jewish approaches to the New Testament. Recently retired professor emerita from Vanderbilt University in that role. And she was a recent visitor to Pulpit Fiction. Right here I wrote Pulp Fiction. My fingers wouldn't do the rest of it. Pulpit Fiction. She is, for example, the co-editor of the Jewish annotated New Testament, and reminds us that the Pharisees were as varied in their beliefs, backgrounds, and lifestyles as members of practically any other human group that we could name. Some of them, the Pharisees, were followers of Jesus. Paul was a Pharisee. Put differently, to understand this perspective, we are the Pharisees of our day. We come to church on Sundays. We invest time and money and energy in the good work the church does, worshiping, feeding the hungry, keeping people safe, and generally being compassionate followers of Jesus and his gospel. And we are a varied lot, holding all kinds of differing views on politics, economics, and even matters of faith and scripture. Jesus, in parable after parable and example after example, told people that belonging to this group or that one was no automatic guarantee of sanctity or of capturing God's favor. As a matter of fact, this parable is not directed at that Pharisee, and certainly not Pharisees in general. Luke tells us who it's for. He introduces this parable by writing, Jesus told this parable to some, I underline it here, some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. They were his target audience. The pulpit fixing boys go on to talk about how tempting it is to fall into the parabolic Pharisee's trap by saying or thinking, thank you, God, that I'm not like him, judging people in that way. And of course, by drawing that conclusion, we've also drawn the line Jesus seeks to obliterate, the line between ourselves and other people, whoever they are. Because whoever else they are our sisters and brothers, children of God. The line of the podcast episode for me comes from someone they quote, whom I've not read and whose name I did not know before this, Nadia Bowles Weber, in her book, Pastrix, as in pastor, but the feminine form, if you will. And she says it in a clearer way than has ever occurred to me. Every time we draw a line between us and others, Jesus is always on the other side of it. That was the eye-opener for me, the challenge of the gospel, Jesus' own challenge to find our true and deep connection with each other, with Jesus, with God, and all of God's creation, even when we would find comfort in a parable such as this by thinking, at least I'm not like her or him or them. So now we've got this once for all, right? Wouldn't that be nice? At least on some level. Nope, we will definitely get it wrong, maybe later today even. But the great good news is that we're called not to perfection, but to faithfulness. And we are forgiven when we fall short, just like all those folks whom we would place on the other side of the line where Jesus always is. Thank God for God and for Jesus and for each other as we seek to follow this path of compassion and love, not to win points with God, but for its own sake, seeing everyone as God's child, connected to us in our common humanity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come share your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Alan, Jim, Jill, Karen, David, Alan, Martin, Patty, Carol, Sarah, Chris, Martin, Diane, Maureen, Alicia, Diane, Joey, Diane, Rachel, Sherry, RG, Shelby, Kristen, Mark, Sherry, Cecile, George, Martha and family, the people of Ukraine, the Degater family, James. Are there others? And we pray for those in the military. Ryan, Trevor, James, Brian, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Eric, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. Are there others? We pray for all who are traveling this week. We pray for all who have died, especially Winifred Roden. We pray in thanksgiving with Mark Pat, who celebrates his birthday today.
This time I invite you to offer your own petitions and thanksgivings, either silently or aloud. We pray for Mark and Cesar, who are traveling in Italy. This time, we pray thanksgiving for Stephen's presence with us.
Well, we're having medical
procedures this week. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, guide the nations of the world into the way of justice and truth, and establish among them that peace which is the fruit of righteousness, that they may become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins to our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Would you please stand? The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
He's my Lord.
Your cover up.
Thank God, thank God, somebody else.
Well, the mother of Christ loved us and gave himself for us and offered and sacrificed to God.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for by water and the Holy Spirit you've made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, We give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen.
Love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
No problem.